gentlemen, Ed Bowersman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, this Jesus who is received up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye beheld him going into heaven. It is written, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. It is written, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received the half shekel came to Peter and said, doth not your teacher pay the half shekel? He saith unto them, yea. And when he came into the house, Jesus spake first to him.
For God is just a prayer away.
What thinkest thou, Simon, the kings of the earth, from whom do they receive toll or tribute? From their sons or from strangers? And when he said, from strangers, Jesus said unto him, therefore the sons are free. But lest we cause them to stumble, go thou to the sea, and cast a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a shekel. Come, friends, sing, while the faith that's so dear to me, reveal through God's Son in Galilee. He brought peace on earth and goodwill to men. Go tell it to the world, her King reigns again. Crucified, thus he suffered and bled for me. Death and the grave won sin's victory. Then the sky grew dark, and the temple veil rent in twain. Rocks rent and angels came, for he lives again. At his feet, on old Olivet's hill, they say, cloud chariots halted, took Christ away. Then the angels came, and to wondering disciples said, he'll come and earth and sea shall yield up. They're dead. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel sermon. Take another look at the fish. And when they were come to Capernaum. Capernaum was the base of the Lord's ministry after being rejected at Nazareth. And it appears that he spent much time in the home of Simon Peter when not going through the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What a blessing to a city to be the home of the Son of God during his ministry on earth. The prophecy of Isaiah in the 9th chapter, quoted by Matthew, says, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. And yet, in spite of all the mighty works done there, because of their unbelief, Jesus would say in Matthew 11, thou, Capernaum, shalt thou be exalted into heaven? Thou shalt go down unto Hades. For if the mighty works done in thee had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have remained unto this day. In modern times, has any country been blessed as America for mighty works in the kingdom of God? Thou, Capernaum, thou, America. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received the half shekel came to Peter and said, does not your master pay the half shekel? He saith, yea. The half shekel was a tax of a small amount, paid by every Jewish man into the treasury every year, usually in the spring, for the upkeep needed in the furnishings of the tabernacle in the temple. Peter was out of doors at this time when they asked him the question, perhaps on a trip to the market to buy supplies. And when he returned home, before he could say anything, Jesus spoke first. The Lord was aware of the conversation the same as he is aware of any conversation we may have with anyone at any time. Jesus said, "What thinkest thou, Simon? The kings of the earth, from whom do they receive toll or tribute? From their sons or from strangers?" And when he said from strangers, Jesus said unto him, "Therefore the sons are free." So Jesus, being the king's son, was exempt from paying that tax, the half shekel. Jesus was also exempt from paying the tax because, in addition to being the king's son, he was also referred to, in fact, he referred himself to the temple. He said in Matthew 12, "Behold, one greater than the temple is here." And in John, the second chapter, in the time of a Passover feast in Jerusalem, he declared, standing in the temple, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." But he spake of the temple of his body. And in Revelation 21, John was explaining the appearance of the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. And he said, "I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are the temple thereof." For Jesus to pay the tax would be like taking money from one pocket and putting it into another. Now, let us take a look at that fish. Jesus, then, was not obligated to pay the half shekel, but he paid it anyway, lest he cause some uninformed person to stumble. However, there are a lot of things Jesus did not have to do, but he did anyway. For one thing, he did not have to come down here to earth from heaven in the first place. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, "He considered not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men, found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. In heaven, an innumerable host of angels served him continually, anxious to carry out his commands, praising him continually. Why would he leave all that was heaven, and come down here to earth, where men would spit in his face, crown him with thorns, drive nails in his hands and feet, scourge him, crucify him, call him a liar? He did not have to do it, but he did it anyway." Another thing he did not have to do, but did anyway, was to submit to the baptism of John the Baptist. Matthew, the third chapter, tells us, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized of him in the river Jordan. But John would have hindered him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus said, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffereth him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway from the water, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and coming upon him. And lo, a voice out of heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. According to John the Baptist, Jesus had not sinned and had no need of repentance. The baptism of John was for the baptism of repentance, for the remission of sins. But Jesus was under no obligation to be baptized for the remission of sins, but he did it anyway, rather than offend anyone were not as well informed as others. It is ironic that 3 years later, when Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the dead and ascended to heaven, established the church on the day of Pentecost, and told the penitent believers to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 obeyed that command, and yet there are millions today who steadfastly refuse to follow the example of the Lord in the burial in water for baptism. Jesus did not have to do it, but he did it anyway. Millions today need to do it and won't do it. Now, let us take another look at that fish. The story of Jesus telling Peter to go catch a fish and pay the tax has one glaring omission. There is no end to the story. There is no record that Peter actually caught the fish and paid the tax. You can read all 98 chapters of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there is no end to the story. Did Peter actually go to the sea and catch that first fish and find a coin in his mouth? We can be assured that Jesus did indeed tell him that, and that Peter did indeed catch the fish, find the coin in his mouth, and paid the tax, because Jesus said in Matthew 24:25, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." There's nothing exceptional about the unfinished story of many things Jesus predicted. For one thing, Jesus said in John 14, verse 2, "If I go, I come again." Then in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus stood on the Mount of Olives and gave them his last instructions, as he spoke unto them, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were standing there, watching him disappear in the clouds, two men in white stood by them and predicted, "This Jesus, who is received up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye beheld him going into heaven." This message concerning the return of Jesus and that prediction has not yet been fulfilled. He said he would come, and he will come, even though it hasn't happened yet. We know Jesus was virgin-born. We know he lived on earth about 33 years. We know he died on the cross. We know he arose from the dead and ascended to heaven. But there's one thing missing in the story of Jesus. He has not yet returned, as he said. And the story of the Lord will not be complete until he appears in the heavens when the trumpet sounds and he fulfills his promise to return. And no one knows the day nor the hour when that will be, as Jesus said in Matthew 24:36. No one knows the day nor the hour, not even the angels, nor the Son, but the Father only. Any prediction made by the wise guys today is made by those who think they know more than the angels. I read a sermon by the great reformer, Martin Luther, a sermon he preached in the year 1520, in which he predicted the soon return of the Lord on the basis of the wonderful things mankind had done. He said, "We have invented the printing press, and we have discovered how to make gunpowder. We can go no higher in progress than that, and the Lord will soon return. The only sure thing we know about the second coming is the fact that Jesus said he would come again, and he will do it. And then and only then will the story of the Christ be complete. But for now, let us take another look at that fish. Simon Peter owed a half shekel to pay his tax, but he did not have the money, and neither did Jesus. That is why he told him to go to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. this take and give unto them for me and thee. It is evident that Jesus is the God of supply. When his servants need to do something in his service, the Lord will always supply the funds for the job. A good example of this is Matthew, the 10th chapter. When Jesus sent the apostles out on a limited evangelistic campaign, he sent them out to preach to the house of Israel only. And he told them, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely ye received, freely give." Then he told them, "Get you no gold in your purses, no wallet for your journey, neither two coats, nor shoes, nor staff, for the laborer is worthy of his hire." Then, almost 3 years later, in Luke 22:35, just before Jesus went into Gethsemane, he asked them, "When I sent you out without purse, wallet, shoes, lacked ye anything?" And they said, their needs were supplied. They said, nothing. Then after the resurrection, as he stood with them on the mountain and told them, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." At that time did any of them say, "Lord, this is not a limited commission. This is a worldwide program. So where will we get the funds?" There was no need for them to wonder where the help would come from, because they knew if he could raise the dead, raising the money was no problem at all. And ladies and gentlemen, the Lord still works with the Christian today in the propagation of the gospel, and he is still the God of supply. It may seem like an extreme example, but if the Lord tells us to run across the room and jump through the wall, our job is to run and jump, and God's job is to open the hole in the wall. Jesus is the God of supply. Now, let us take another look at the fish. Jesus told Peter to take the fish and give it unto them for me and thee. He did not say, "Take the fish and give it to them for both of us," nor did he say, "Take the shekel and pay the half shekel and then keep the change." He said, "Give it unto them for me and thee." While Jesus did not owe the half shekel, he was willing to go along with Peter and stand by him as Peter met his obligation. And that is the way Jesus works with the Christian today. Jesus works that way with us as far as his birth was concerned. When Jesus came into this world, did he drop down here from heaven by parachute? He did not come blasting off from heaven in a spaceship to land on planet Earth. Let Matthew tell us how he arrived in his first chapter. The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit, and not willing to make her a public example, decided to put her away privately. An angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For it is he that shall save his people from their sins. Now all this is come to pass, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. So when Jesus came into this world, he wanted to come down here just like we got here, by a birth. That is the way every one of us came into the world, born of a woman. And Jesus got here the same way, because his name is Emmanuel, God with us. And that is only the beginning. He knew that when we reach the age to be accountable, we are going to be tempted by the devil to sin. Jesus did not come down here to live in an ivory palace, far removed from our way of life. Hebrews 4:13 and 15 tell us he was tempted in all points, like as we are, and yet without sin. We may wonder, why did he subject himself to such treatment? Ladies and gentlemen, it was because his name was Emmanuel, God with us. It was also obvious that the experience of mankind is to be hungry. Jesus wanted to know how we feel when he came into the world. And so he felt the hunger of those today that live close to starvation all over the world. He did it by fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Why should he suffer the pangs of hunger like that? It was because his name was Emmanuel, God with us. And wonder of wonders, he also wanted to experience how we feel in the matter of death that every human must pass through. Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, the 9th verse tells us, "But we behold him who hath been made a little lower than the angels, even Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste of death for every man." Again, we ask, why would he subject to that? It was because his name is Emmanuel, God with us. Then I have to tell you that many years ago, when I obeyed the terms of pardon, as Jesus said in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." And then followed his example by going down into the water and coming up out of the water. When that happened, I did not go down into the water alone. Someone was down under the water with me. And that someone was Jesus. In one glorious moment, I contacted the blood of Christ that taketh away the sin of the world. I stood beneath the cross, and the blood fell upon me. Did not Paul tell us about it in Romans 6:4? We were therefore buried with him in baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we might arise to walk in the newness of life. Why should this be so? Ladies and gentlemen, it is because his name is Emmanuel, God with us, and he will be with us even unto the end of the world. So go thou to the sea and cast a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a shekel. This take and give unto them for me and thee. So in times of doubt, open the New Testament to the chapter of Matthew 17 and read again what Matthew had to say, and take another look at the fish. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel, as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address one more time, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Until next week at the same time, don't forget to tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away. Just a prayer.